Today is the conclusion of the Christmas feast and season and celebration. And as this season has progressed, the good news has been announced to larger and larger groups of people. Initially, it was the angel's announcement to Mary and the angel's announcement to Joseph. And later on, it was the angel's announcement to the shepherds in the field. And after that, it was the shepherds recounting all that they had seen and heard as they talked to people living in the area around Bethlehem. But today, it's the announcement made to all the world that this child is not only for the house of Israel, but this child is for the salvation of all people. This child is a light of revelation to all nations. This child is also the glory of the house of Israel. This child embraces all of God's plan for the salvation of all persons. And so this feast, the Feast of the Epiphany, is the feast by which we celebrate God's universal desire to save and to gather all human beings into relationship with Him. How does God do that? Well, the answer is you and I don't know. The vast majority of people living on the face of the earth have never heard the words Jesus Christ. And certainly the vast majority of people who have lived in the past 2,000 years since the birth of Christ in Bethlehem have no knowledge of who He is. And yet, in some way, God has a universal desire to save, and in some way touches the hearts of every single human being and invites that person into a relationship with Him. Now, how that happens, I don't know. And I don't know anybody who does. But the principle is strong that God excludes no one. But the announcement made to the angels, to the shepherds say, glory to God in the highest and peace upon all people of goodwill. All people who seek the truth. All people who seek to do what is just. All people who seek to love their neighbor. All people. And that's what this feast is about. It's the universal saving grace of God for all. Now, you know, the temptation is for people to exclude each other. You and I have been graced in a unique way. We have come to an explicit knowledge of Jesus Christ. But it's only by accident that you and I were raised within a Christian environment. It's only by accident that we were raised within a society in which the practice of Christian belief has been a majority practice. It's not because of anything you've done or I've done, it's just an accident. And we have received, by and large, most of us received that gift of faith through the hands of our parents. And that faith has been nurtured and strengthened by family and neighbors and friends. And again, not because of anything that you or I have done. So we have an explicit expression of faith. Most people on the face of the earth have an expression of faith that is much more implicit, less explicit. And the temptation that is sometimes present is for us to exclude others. But if they don't share exactly the explicit nature of our appreciation of the gift of faith and God's love in present in Jesus Christ, if they don't explicitly embrace that, then they're outside of the pale. They're outside of salvation. And this feast stands against that. This feast stands at the point of that God will choose a way to invite every single human being into a relationship with Him, into a saving relationship with Him. And that the birth of Jesus Christ and His suffering and dying and rising unites all human beings, invites all of humanity, in fact, invites all of creation into union with God. Signs and symbols admit of lots of understanding and lots of meaning. Human actions admit of lots of understanding and lots of meaning. It's words that make the symbols specific and the actions specific. But symbols have a terrible power, and actions engage us very deeply. The natural symbols that are found in nature can reveal the face of God. And that's what we have in the story today. We have the story about people who sought the truth. People of a culture vastly different from the culture of Israel. People who were astrologers and who studied the stars. And then on a given day, they saw a new star. A star that captured their imagination. An event that was so powerful that it called them to leave their homes and to follow that star. A star that brought them ultimately to a little backwater town called Bethlehem, where they encountered the living God present in an infant child. Nature can open human beings to an appreciation of the divine. Human actions of kindness and generosity, actions of justice and self-sacrifice, can open human beings to an appreciation of the love of God and the graciousness of God. Our call is to put up no barriers, to put up no exclusionary conditions, to affirm that God will do what God will do. And my reason or my experience is not the norm by which the work of God is to be judged. The work of God is to judge my experience. My life is to stand underneath the light of God's saving work. And our challenge is to be as broad and expansive in our understanding of the goodness and the mercy of God as we can possibly be. And to be as open and inviting of human beings to bring their experience, their knowledge, their insight in that process of discovery of the presence and the power of God. That's our job. That's our job if we seek to truly be reflective of who God is and what God asks of human beings. No one is outside. And the path by which human beings walk in search of truth and in search of God are varied and different. Another person's path may well not be mine. And my path is certainly not the path of someone else. And truly I find truth in my path. But I am in no position to deny the truth that another human being finds in the path that he or she walks. What we know is that the salvation that God grants to all people is a salvation that is won through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. All grace, all saving grace, comes through the mystery of Christ. That in his dying and in his rising, he joins all human beings and all of creation once again with his Father. And what you and I do every time we gather here is we celebrate that mystery of his death and resurrection. We celebrate that mystery, that cosmic mystery by which all that is brought into union with God. That's the mystery. You and I don't know how that happens. We cannot read the consciences of human beings. We are not privileged to walk into the hearts of human beings. What we do know is that in the plan of God, no person is excluded from divine grace. And that somehow in God's plan, every single human heart is touched, and every single human person is invited into union with God. And every single human person then has a challenge placed before him or her to respond to that invitation, to accept that invitation, and to allow oneself to be drawn into the very life of God.